Well, grace to you and peace in Jesus' name. Amen. You ready? Today's an important day. It's an important day for all of us. It's that day when I'm going to bring children before you, and I'm going to ask this congregation to stop seeing them as children, but to start seeing them as young adults. These children have completed 2 years of my confirmation class. Maybe they would describe it as long and arduous, tedious and boring. Maybe not. But through all of that, it's been my focus and my goal to show them that God's Word is not just a dusty book for use in an old church. It's for every aspect of life. It's for every day. In class, we talk about real-world stuff. We talk about troubles in school, troubles with friends, troubles in family, and how we deal respectfully with the sin. With the sin that we see in our friends, the sin we see in those who have authority over us, and the sin we see in ourselves. And in just a few minutes, we're going to have something called confirmation questioning. I do that before the congregation, really for three reasons. One is, I want to show this congregation that I have taught them the basic fundamentals of the holy Christian faith. I do that to show me that they've actually studied what I told them to study and to do their homework. If they haven't, the service will be shorter. I want to make sure that they know what I want them to know before I confirm them in front of you in that Christian faith. And the third reason is really, I want to show you that you know what you need to know. It really is a proud time for this congregation. We're happy for you, and we want to celebrate this time. This is the day when you are going to start being considered as adults in this church. This is that moment of transition in the church, where you get to take on some of the new responsibilities and benefits. You're going to be seen as a Christian man or woman in whom this congregation can begin to depend and rely. But here's the problem. Here's the concern. We don't want you to be yellow belt Christians. I had a friend who was studying a particular form of martial arts, and in that school, you start out, like most places, with a white belt, and then you'd get a yellow, and then a green, and a red, and a brown, and finally a black. And well, that beginner white belt, that's to show you and everybody else that you don't know a thing. You don't know anything about what you're doing. You don't know anything about what you need to know to perform well. With your white belt, you're allowed to practice with anybody, except a yellow belt. The time will come when you will advance and get your yellow belt. And once you get your yellow belt in this particular dojo, in this particular school, if you are caught practicing with anyone except a black belt as a yellow belt, even one time, you're out permanently. No excuses, no exceptions. He's that serious about it. When you get your yellow belt, you can only practice with a black belt. And then when you get your green belt, you can again practice with anyone except a yellow belt. You must obtain your black belt before you can ever practice again with a yellow belt. Why is that yellow belt different? Why are they different from everybody else? Here's why. They don't know how much they don't know. They know enough to be harmful to others and themselves, but they don't know how much yet there is to learn and can't see past where they are to how much there is yet to learn. So only a black belt who has the skills to protect themselves from the student and the student from themselves is allowed to practice with them so that nobody gets seriously hurt. Getting your green belt is not as much a test of your skill and ability as it is a test of where you are in your head. Do you really realize how much more there is to learn and how much you don't yet know? Can you see there's a lot more yet to go? When you get there, that's when you graduated from yellow to green. You see, the point of all this stuff that we teach in confirmation isn't to teach you all there is to know and now you're done. As a wise man once told me, confirmation is not graduation unless you're graduating from kindergarten. Because confirmation isn't teaching you everything. It's giving you a good foundation upon which now you can really begin to learn what it means to really be a real Christian. If you think you know all there is to know about being a Christian, you're still a yellow belt Christian. Don't be that. There's always more to learn. So this is my prayer for you, my encouragement to you. Just that. Don't be a yellow belt Christian. Don't think that this is it and you've done it all. May God make you so wise. Amen. With that, let's see if you're wise. Come on up. We'll have you stand up here and face the congregation. Just right there along the step there. That'll work just perfectly. So confirmation is about becoming an adult in the church. And up till now, you've been a member of this church because your parents are members of this church. When you walked in the back door, you're kind of something a little different. You're now no longer members of the church. You're confirmands who have been prepared for public questioning. It's not that scary. Well, maybe it is. But that means you're about to become members of this church on your own, not just because of somebody else's actions. That means that this congregation here is no longer going to see you as children, but as young adults. So you should display a level of responsibility that shows us that you want to be a man or a woman who is determined to live a Christian life. When you were younger, you were baptized in a place like this, or maybe in this one right here. You were baptized into the holy Christian faith. And today, that faith is being confirmed in you. Not by what your parents or sponsors say, but by what you're going to say to this congregation. At the end of that questioning, I'll decide if you've done well enough and give my decision to the congregation. And then the congregation will determine whether they're willing to receive you as members of this church and allow you to participate as an adult in the privileges and the responsibilities of this congregation. So you've gone through my confirmation classes. Do you now desire to become members of this church? If so, then answer, yes, I do. Good answer. So let's begin. The first thing we learned about is we kind of learned about two books. That's where it all started, way, way back. We learned about two books. We learned about the Bible. We learned about the catechism. And we learned in the catechism that Martin Luther sort of divided it up into six parts. Sometimes it's called the six chief parts, right? And those include the Ten Commandments that teaches us how Christians are to live. We learned about the Apostles' Creed that tells us who God is. We learned about the Lord's Prayer and how to pray. The Office of the Keys and Confession is how to forgive and to be forgiven. In Holy Baptism, we learn what baptism is and what it does. And then the Lord's Supper. We learn what the Lord's Supper is and what it does. So let's talk about them. The Bible. Jonathan, what's the Bible? God's Word. Most of it, all of it. You sure? You really believe that? Good answer. That's right. Yes, all of it. Right. It's God's Word. It's every word on every page is inspired by God. Randy, why is it so important that we know that God inspired every word of the Bible and that every word can be trusted? Yeah, we can go to heaven. We know what God wants us to believe, right? We know how He saved us. How did sin come into the world? What'd they do? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Adam and Eve, they defied God. Satan said, you can be God yourself if you eat from this tree. And they thought, that's a good idea. Randy, when Adam and Eve were punished, there was also a promise. Do you know what the promise was? Close. Do you guys, anybody know? Remember that one? There was, God punished them, said you're kicked out of the garden, and you're lost to me forever, and there's no hope, right?
No. Do you remember the promise? We haven't talked about this in a long time, I guess, but crush a head. Somebody gonna do that? Whose head is gonna get crushed? Yeah! Yeah, one is gonna come to crush Satan's head, right? Who is that one? There you go, Jesus, right. So, John, when did he finally fulfill that promise? Yeah, and then what did he do after that? There you go, when he died on the cross and when he rose from the dead, that promise was fulfilled, right? There you are. That's the beginning of it all and the end of it all, really, right? So let's go on to the commandments. Jonathan, how many gods do we worship? One or three? Good. Okay, I like to play just to see if you know. How many persons in that God? Yeah, three. Very good. And so we worship three gods or one God? Good. Where do we learn what we know about God? In the Bible. Not just me? I can just make stuff up? No. The Bible, right? Good. How about this? God's name. I mean, that should be respected, right? But sometimes you'll hear people say, oh my God, when they see something that's fun or exciting, is that the right thing to do? Why not? Yeah, you're using God's name in vain, frivolously and disrespectfully. How should we treat God's name? With respect. Yeah. Randy Lynn, you ever lied to your parents? Can't lie in church. Yeah. Kylie, have you ever lied to your pastor?
Yeah.
you ever lied about how much homework you have to do? Yeah. Okay. Jonathan, what does it tell you about people? What does it tell people about you when you lie? Yeah, that you're sinful. Yeah, yeah. Does that get you in trouble with God? Probably, yeah. Randy, how do you get out of trouble with God? Repent. Yeah, that's a good churchy word. What does that mean? Ask for forgiveness, to apologize, right? To change the way you think and act. That's what repentance is really about, trying to become a better person. How about, and we're not kidding all the commandments, but we're kind of jumping through some here. How about killing? I will tell you that I have a black belt in death of mosquitoes. Mosquitoes die around me quickly. I'm not a yellow belt when it comes to mosquito killing. Is killing a mosquito the same as killing a person? No. Why not? Yeah, because God set us as the pinnacle of his creation. And although killing mosquitoes for sport is probably not as God-pleasing as we like it to be, I think mosquitoes are part of the curse and we ought to rid the earth of them. So that's just me. Take that for what it's worth. But how about stealing? You know, my mom's here. She's sitting right there. And it was just Mom's Day, right? I could have mailed her a Mother's Day card. Now, I've got some stamps. I meant to bring them up here, but I forgot to do that. But I have some stamps in my desk. The church pays for those stamps. But I thought I would just take one of those stamps and mail the card to my mom. Is that the right thing to do? Yeah, because I'm stealing 50-some cents from the church. Do you really think that if I needed a stamp and I took one from the church that the congregation would... I mean, do I have to call a voters meeting and see if the pastor needs to be removed for stealing 50 cents? Yeah, John thinks so, yeah. Good answer. Randy, what should I do if I need a stamp? Go buy my own, right? Take care of your own business, right? You don't, even if it's nothing, it still is stealing, right? We wanna keep that in mind, that if you start committing little sins, it's easier to commit bigger ones, right? Let's move on to the creed. Again, Jonathan, I already asked you this. How many gods are there? One. How many persons are there? Three. Is the Son the same person as the Father? Good answer. Is the Son the same God as the Father? Good answer. There you go. There you go. Oh, I like this question. This is a good one. Jonathan, I want you to explain to me the hypostatic union of Jesus. Right. See, sometimes that's what I think about all these churchy words is I try to avoid them. But you know the answer. Is Jesus 50-50 God and man, 100-100 God and man, or meaning 200%, or is he just 100% God and 100% man? Yeah, that's just it. See, that's it. You just explained that brilliant thing right there, the hypostatic union. It means, right, that is it true? We have one God and three persons, right? And then one of those persons is both God and man, right? Yeah. Why do we worship God like that? What do you think? Take your best guess. Why do we worship him that way? Yeah, because he wants us to. Where do you think we learned that? There you go, in the Bible. It's exactly right. See, all the stuff's in there. And you know the answers. How about the Lord's Prayer? Who gave us that prayer? The Lord, who is, yeah, Jesus, right? Lord Jesus. There you go, right? Is that the, I mean, this is the one that God actually gave us. Is that the only one we can use? No, of course not, right? Do you make sure you have to memorize all prayers, though, right? Every prayer has to be memorized first, and then you can pray it. No. No. You mean you, Jonathan, think you can actually just walk up to the throne of a holy God and just start talking to him? Good answer. That's exactly right. That's the privilege we have as children of God, right? We talked about the mosquito and the person, right? God set us as the pinnacle of his creation. We're the most important part. And that includes all of what's in heaven as well. We can just walk up and talk to him. Does God hear every prayer? Yes. Now, I have prayed many times for a canary yellow Lamborghini Diablo. Been doing this now for 10 years. Finally got one. It's not quite what I was looking for. You probably guessed that. But somebody in the church sneakily snuck that in here and I got one. Kylie, does God answer every prayer? He does. I don't have my car. Sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says, you must be crazy. Because pastor doesn't need his name in the paper for bad reasons, right? Yeah, what happens, John, when we ask things from God, which he knows are going to hinder us from getting to heaven? He doesn't give them to you, right? Because his goal is get you to heaven. Kylie, what are we talk about these things called the means of grace. What are they? Communion back there, baptism right there, and we got a Bible sitting right behind you. That's exactly it. Those are the three things through which God gives us his grace. Let's talk about baptism. What does the word baptize mean? Yeah, just water. So is holy baptism, what makes it holy baptism? What changes this little puddle of water into something important? What do you think? There you go. God's word, that's right. So then is baptism just a symbol, or does God really change us and forgive us? Yeah, for real? Okay. So that would mean that in holy baptism, God actually touches us. He actually washes us clean. Is that what you believe? For sure? Really? You want to quit and give up? Good. No, you don't want to quit and give up. Good. Okay. So, Randy, what's the right way to perform a baptism? Dunking people all the way under, pouring water over them, or sprinkling them? Doesn't matter? You sure? Want to try again? Okay, good. Good, good. That's right. No, so the amount of water doesn't matter. If I'm baptized here, I mean, wouldn't it be better in the Pacific Ocean? I get a lot more water and I get more stuff. No. What puts the power in the water? God's word. Not because I'm a super pastor. No. Okay, good. No, that's not it, right? It's God's word that makes the sacred act, the sacrament, the sacred act that it is, right? How about confessing your sins? Confession. When you sin, when you do something wrong, How do you fix it? Yeah, repent. Yeah. How about Randy, if you say the words but don't really mean it, when you apologize to God, does you think that counts with God? He knows when you're faking? Sure. Does God know when you're lying? Does apologizing to God also mean working to change and trying never to do that sin again? That's what repentance is really about. Working at changing the way you think and act, right? So then repenting, apologizing, really means just that. Working at changing. How about the Lord's Supper? The Bible says in Matthew 26, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." What five things do we get when we come up here to the Lord's Supper? Anybody remember? Yeah? Yep. Yeah. And there you go. We get bread and wine. We get Jesus' body and blood. And we get forgiveness. That's important to remember. Is the forgiveness that you receive, is it real forgiveness or just symbolic forgiveness? Real forgiveness, yeah. Now, how about this? There's kind of a warning with this. The Bible says whoever eats the bread or drinks from the Lord's cup in an improper way is going to be held responsible for the Lord's body and blood. That means if you come to this altar without apologizing for your sins, you'll be held accountable for the murder of Jesus. You think that's a good place to be standing? No, probably not. So you want to be well prepared, and that's why we teach you before you come up here, right? And in fact, Martin Luther actually wrote 20 questions to help people prepare for the Lord's Supper, to remind themselves that it is important, because the truth is this will happen to you. Honestly, it happens to me. It probably happens to everybody here. We come up here, and the business of the day and the business of life gets to you, and you forget how important it is. And it's a good idea every once in a while to just read through these questions. If the congregation cares, we're not going to read through all of them, but they're on 329 in the hymnal. You can check them out sometime. Luther wrote those 20 questions as a way to remind yourself, to prepare yourself for the Lord's Supper. But I'm going to ask some of them of you here. The first is, all three of you, do you believe that you're a sinner? Good. Are you sorry for your sins? That's good. Since you're a sinner, you think you really deserve God's love? No. But do you want to go to heaven? So who's going to get you there? There you go, Jesus, right? And who's Jesus? Yeah, God's Son. So what did Jesus do for you? Died on the cross for you? Do you believe that the true body and true blood of Jesus are present in this sacred meal? Good. Why did Jesus die for you? Yeah, to forgive your sins. So when you come to this altar and receive the Holy Sacrament, do you do that because you want to be forgiven? Good. Yes. If you don't want to be forgiven, should you just come up here because everybody's coming up anyway? Probably not, right? There you go. Should we go at this for another hour? No. Okay. Well done.